Well, good morning. There's one, two, three. Good morning. Welcome to Bridgewater Church in Conklin. My name is Jeff. I'm so glad you're here. And last service, I was told that I have the face for radio. So I'm glad you're here. You get to watch me with my Cleveland Browns shirt, in case you're wondering. Yeah, go Browns. No, seriously, I'm glad you're here today. And a couple weeks ago, I told you that we may have an update on January 1st or January 3rd. About someone coming to assist me and help me, and I have some news to share. The news is I have nothing new to share. So apparently that snowstorm about a month ago really affected some things, and some meetings got pushed around, so it's our prayer that we'll have an answer sometime this month, and someone to share the burden with me. Not the burden, share the pleasure. There you go. Sorry. See, you should have a 30-second delay and cut that out. But in the meantime, I'll continue to do my best and allow God to use me in this new and expanded way here preaching at Conklin. If this is your first time here, just want to reiterate what Reed said. Make sure you text in and go back to the Welcome Center and get that free gift. But also, this is a great day to be here because we're starting a brand new series today. It's titled Breathing Room. And maybe you're here just checking things out. Maybe you don't really know if you want to believe all this Jesus stuff yet. You know, you heard about this bald guy preaching with a Cleveland Brown shirt on. You said, I got to go check this guy out. But the things we're going to talk about, the things we're going to preach, we're going to unpack today, listen, they work whether you're a Christ follower or not. I'm going to pray that you do follow Christ, but they work whether you do that or not. So here's some things that we're going to talk about today. I want to check out some of these pictures here. Have you ever watched or seen these guys on mountain bikes riding on the edge of a mountain cliff? You know, they only got 6 or 8 inches on each side, and they're riding down there. Or you watch these videos of these things on social media, or these people on hiking. Check out these pictures here. So how would you like to take this for a sunny afternoon bike ride? Now, see, there's lots of room there. I think, man, I can do that easy, but check out this next picture. I don't know if I could do that, okay? So these guys are riding their mountain bikes on some pretty precarious places. Check out these people hiking. How's that for a leisurely Sunday afternoon hike, right? And then the next one, okay? Look at, they got footholds and everything. Wow, I can do that. And this guy's taking a picture. There's no problem. He's taking a selfie up there, right? Remember that show used to be out called Fear Factor? Fear Factor, you know, they would... people would push themselves to their emotional limit, to their physical limit, their fears, emotionally and physically and mentally, and some of them would break down and some of them wouldn't be able to do it. Or have you ever watched those extreme sports, like the guys on motocross bikes where they come up these big hills and they flip their motorcycles, they let go of their motorcycles and they grab back onto them. Do you guys know what base jumping is? Base jumping is where you climb these tall skyscrapers or get on top of the skyscrapers and get on the radio towers or these tall bridges like the Gorge Bridge in West Virginia, and they put a parachute on or they put on a flying suit and they jump off and they fly down. Or how about these guys right here? Check out this girl. This girl's on a date with her boyfriend. How would you like to be on a date like that, girls? One step. I mean, there's nothing... Yeah, and then the next two guys here. Check this out. Pretty intense. These guys are, it's a radio tower. I don't know where they're at. I think they're in Ukraine, because this guy is another picture hanging off the edge of a building. It's quite the adrenaline rush. People pushing themselves to their physical and emotional limit. And you look at these things, and there's no margin for error. One small slip, one small misstep, and there's disaster, either life-altering or even life-ending, life-changing disaster. You know, sometimes it's fun to watch these people do this from the comfort of your own home. It's even participating in it once in a while, it's pretty cool. You know, if I was 30, 40 years younger, maybe I would, maybe not. Maybe I would do something like that. But in the real world, there's nothing fun or entertaining about people pushing themselves to mental or emotional or even financial or even moral limit where there's no margin for error. There's no place to save them if they take a misstep, where one decision can result in that life-altering or that life-ending even conclusion. It's no fun watching a couple who are both at the end of their emotional ropes, and they get into this argument, and after the argument, during the argument, they they go over the edge, and there might be mental abuse or physical abuse, or someone's, one of them says, you know something, I'm done, and they walk away after 20, 30, 40 years of marriage because there is no margin. They have used up all their margin. It's nothing fun about watching a teenager who skates on the edge morally, so close to that line that they know they should not cross over. And then one night they make that misstep and they have to live with the memory of that misstep for the rest of their lives. Or having a friend who's on the edge financially, so close financially, and then this unexpected repair comes up and they are pushed over the edge into bankruptcy. Or maybe for you, maybe for me, it's no fun having our schedules so full of stuff that if it was by ourselves, we would enjoy doing, but our schedule is so packed full, we have no enjoyment doing these things because we're always worried about, am I going to have enough time? I got to leave early. I got to get to the next thing. And tomorrow's this, and tomorrow's that, and I got to, and there's no margin. And our kids are saying, man, Daddy, can we stay just a few more minutes? Can we stay just a few minutes? And you're like, man, we got to go. See, it's like these pictures where there's no safety net. There's nothing to save them if they step away and make a wrong step. See, in my world, in your world, in our world, we call it margin. We call it breathing room. That's where you're able to sit down and relax and take a breath where you sit on the couch or in your lazy boy and you take an hour, you take 2 hours, you take a day where you don't have to worry about, okay, what's coming up next, what's coming up next. We get to relax and slow down. Sure, it's fun to watch this once in a while, but living on the edge like that is exhausting and it's filled with stress. Living on the edge where our schedules are packed full is exhausting and it's full of stress. And the truth is, our culture promotes it. Our culture pushes it. It encourages, it prods us, it goads us into filling up and doing this and doing that. And make sure you do this and don't forget that. But God has a plan. It's a different plan. It's much different than that. He wants to invite us. He wants to encourage us. He does encourage us. He does invite us to take a step back. Take a breath. Relax. Add some margin. Add some breathing room into your life and let God do some things. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So to get started on this four-week series, this is a series where we're not going to go through a book. We're not going to go through a certain passage of Scripture and unpack it, but what we're going to do is it's topical. So every week is different, and every week we're going to look at a topic and have Scriptures to talk about it, unpack it. But the baseline is what breathing room is. Here's what breathing room is for our definition. We'll come back to this every week. Breathing room is the space between our current pace and our limits. The space between our current pace and our limits. It's the amount you have available beyond what is necessary. Okay? It's like traveling in first class on an airplane where the seats are bigger and there's more room around you. You don't need the bigger seats. You don't need that extra room to do it, but you enjoy doing it. It's traveling in first class where there's extra room. It's like being socially distanced because you want to and you like to, not because you're forced to. It's wanting to live in that house that's 20 miles out in the woods, like maybe in Alaska or Colorado or Nebraska or Montana, and not living downtown New York City or Binghamton or Shenango Valley or even in a housing development in Vestal. Breathing room is like avoiding 434 in Vestal on Black Friday or on the weekend the SUNY students come back where there's kids and cars and the Walmart is packed and Target is packed and you're like, I just can't stand it. And we see in our physical world, we avoid traffic jams. We avoid places where there are tons of people. We purposely go to Walmart early or late to miss everything, or we go on an off day, or we go down the parkway at midnight because we want to miss all the things. But for some reason, in our time schedules, in our financial world, and sometimes in our emotional world, and maybe even in your moral world, we often willingly live with no room to breathe. We live without that safety net. We live living on the edge. You see, breathing room is having money left over at the end of the month. It's getting that unexpected bill or those repairs and having money set aside to pay for it. Breathing room is arriving to a meeting 10 or 15 minutes early. Arriving to an event or to a meeting or even to a church service 10 or 15 minutes early where you have time to chat and talk and sit back and relax, not coming in the dark and trying to find a seat or something like that. Not that any of you do that. See, breathing room's having an argument or a crisis with your spouse and having the margin and ability to not go over the edge, to not blow up your temper, not walk away angry. That's breathing room. You might ask, well, what's the big deal? Why is breathing room so important? I live like this. I can handle this. What's the big deal? Well, here's what I've come to learn, that without breathing room, there's stress. If you take breathing room out of the picture, stress goes into that place. When you have breathing room, when you have margins, stress goes away. The more margin you have, the less stress. And so vice versa, the less margin you have, the more stress. So the less financial margin you have, the more financial stress. The less emotional margin you have, the more emotional stress. The less time you have in your schedule, the more time in scheduling stress you may have. See, for some reason, we think it's okay to run our bodies full tilt, nonstop. But if you know anything about engines in cars, when you run a car above the red line for an hour or two, 100 miles, 200 miles, pretty soon the viscosity of the oil breaks down and the engine's going to blow apart, it's going to blow a rod, it's going to blow a head, and it's just going to come apart. Well, see, the same is true for our bodies. It's that we run our bodies at full tempo with no space for breathing, with no space for shutting down. The results are burnout or anger or rage or physical problems or even emotional problems. People say, listen, I've had enough. I just got to get away. I'm done. It's time for me to step away. It's just too much. And sometimes I think we do this stuff out of fear. We live at a full pace out of fear. You guys ever heard of the phrase FOMO? FOMO, fear of missing out. Sometimes I think we live at a pace because we fear our kids are going to miss out on something. They might not make the team. They might not be able to participate in the play. They might not make the band, or they might not be able to do whatever it is. Gymnastics, I mean, you fill in the blank. Maybe sometimes we fill our schedules up because we want our kids, we fear our kids are going to miss something. And so we push and push, and we fill up every single weekend with something to do. You know, when I was growing up, we didn't have smartphones. We tapped on the rocks and carved things out of rocks for messages. Okay, it's a joke. Sorry. We didn't have smartphones. We didn't have internet. We didn't have a TV. And what did I do on weekends? I helped my dad work around the house. I played with my brothers and sisters to go out in the woods and build forts, or ride bikes, or ride snowmobiles. We played outside. It was a great time. And our Saturdays were filled with spending time with my dad. Would it surprise you if I said that God in his word speaks to margin, encourages us, prods us, challenges us to have margin, to have breathing room, to get it into our lives? So today what we're going to talk about, the first topic of where we need breathing room, I think, is the base topic. It's in our time. It's in our schedules. It's in our calendars. So God, our Heavenly Father, he says, hey, bring me your Google calendars. Bring me your day timers. Surrender it to me. And we might ask, why in the world would we surrender something like that when we're in charge? Why would we want God to be in charge of it? Well, he's the one who gave you your time to begin with. He's the one who said, here's your number of days. Here's what you get to use. So why wouldn't we ask him? See, our days are limited. And since he knows how many we got and how many we've been given, why not allow him, why not ask him to help us use it? Give him the control of it. Look at what God says in Job here. He says in Job 14:5, he says, a person's days are determined. Your days are determined. You have a specific number of days that you're going to live. They're determined. You have decreed the number of his months. This is, you know, God's, someone speaking about God. God, you have decreed the number of his months and have set limits he cannot exceed. So basically what that's saying is you have a number of days and you can't exceed them. If you've used up 95% of them, you only have 5% left. You have a number of days that God has given you. He's predetermined your days, period. They're numbered. You can't bank them. You can't take sick days and tack them on the end. You can't take some of your days and give them to somebody else, like paid overtime. You can't transfer them. You have a set number of days, and only he knows what it is. So wouldn't it be smart to let him, to ask him to control them, to teach us, to help us use them? Wouldn't it be wise to ask him to control and to control our calendars? So today, we're going to unpack three simple statements. three simple statements. I think they're really good. I didn't come up with them, but I like them. I think they're really good. And it's going to help us add breathing room, add margin to our lives. So the first statement is this. Realize your limit, okay? Realize your limit. In other words, your days are numbered. We talked about that in Job, but let me put it in terms that maybe you'll understand a little better. You can only be a teenager once. Now, I know there's some 20 and 30-year-olds in the room that like to act like teenagers or maybe older, but seriously, you only get turned 16 to get your driver's license once. You can only be a teenager once. You can only turn 20 once. And so since you can only be a teenager once, wouldn't it be wise to do the teenage things in your teenage years, not when you get to a middle-aged crisis and say, oh, I wish I would have, and go back? We can't do that. We only turn 20 once. Now, this may shock some of you, but you only turn 29 once, okay? You only turn 39 once. I know. So kids, cover your ears. Your mom will explain it to you later. You only turn 50 or 60 or 70. You only turn it once. And once you've gone past it, there's no do-overs. You can't go back and say, man, I think I'm going to do my 20s over. I think I'm going to do my 30s. No, you can't do that. Your days are numbered and there's no going back. And when we realize this truth, when we realize it and embrace it, then we have a proper perspective on how we need to prioritize our time correctly. Look at Psalms 90. Psalms 90 verse 12 says this, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. So let's flip this around. If we want to gain a heart of wisdom, understand that your days are numbered. The psalmist is saying, teach us to number our days, God, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Just flip around and say, if you want to gain that heart of wisdom, understand that your days are numbered. Let me unpack it in terms that will hit a little bit closer to home. Okay? You only get one chance to raise your kids. Period. You only get one chance. You only get one chance to celebrate the 10th birthday of your son or daughter. You only get one chance to walk your daughter through her first date. You only get one chance to walk your son through that first date or that first speeding ticket or whatever it is. And since we know and understand this, since we should know and understand that our days are numbered, wouldn't it be the wise thing? Wouldn't it affect how we live? Shouldn't it affect the choices we make? Let me explain it to you. Let me make it clear a different way that our days are numbered. Look at this chart. So this is a chart that I made up, and it's pretty simple. Assuming that your child at the age of 18 graduates from high school and goes off to college, you have 936 weeks to spend with him for 18 years. Assuming that your child is 8, you have 10 years before he goes to college, that's 520 weeks. If he's 10, he has 8 years, 416. If he's going into high school, 4 years left, 4 weeks, 280. You know what these numbers represent? That's 208 Saturdays, 312 Saturdays. 104, or if he's a senior right now, he has 50. He has 25 Saturdays before he's gone. You have this many Saturdays to impact your child for Christ. So would you want your Saturday to be filled with overtime or going out with your buddies? Or would you want to spend Saturday doing something valuable with your child? I heard of a dad who went out and he bought a jar. He put in 208 marbles. His son was going into high school. And every Saturday, he took a marble and threw it away. Took a marble and threw it away every single Saturday. You know what he was doing? He was watching his time with his son quickly evaporate. He was numbering his days visually, watching his days go down and down and down. This chart is how we number our days. Friends, your days with your children are numbered. And although you might not think they're going quickly, they do go quickly. Our days are numbered. We make the false assumption that it will go on forever, but this is proof that it doesn't go on forever. And then one day we wake up and we realize we've made a mistake. And oh no, we got to cram things in, and we live at an unsustainable level, trying to cram everything in we wish we would have done when he was 10, when he was 12, when he was 14. That's one way to lose margin. When I was going over this Friday night, God hit me square in the face with this. It's about 10:30. It was the halftime of the Ohio State game. And I'm sitting there studying, and all my children are, my youngest child is almost 30. So I'm on the reverse side of this. And my daughter, my youngest child, brought down my grandson, her child. And I said, "Hey, what's going on?" She goes, "Mikey just got out of his bath. He wants to tell Grandpa goodnight." And it hit me like a ton of bricks. I have less than 936 weeks. He's not going to live with me forever. I don't know how long Mikey's going to be in the house with me. But it hit me with the kind of bricks. Oh, my word. I'm going to be able to build into his life, but is it going to be in my house, or is it going to be from afar when she moves out? I don't know. But I do know something that's going to go a lot quicker. It's going to go a lot quicker than I think. Let me pause right here and take a little rabbit trail for just a moment, because there are some people in this room, there are some high school students in this room, maybe some junior high students that you live with that think, "Oh my word, when am I ever going to get out of this house? I can't wait till I turn 16 and I can drive. I can't wait till I turn 18 so I can get out." Let me speak to you guys for just a moment. Let me speak to you as a dad whose kids are grown and are out of the house, and and you're saying, "I can't wait till I get out. I can't wait to get a driver's license." Listen, it reminds me of a song sung by Trace Atkins, and the song's titled, "You're Gonna Miss This." And we're talking now as adults how these things go so quickly, and our kids are saying it's not going quick enough. So if you're in the group that it's not going quick enough, if you're wishing, "Man, I wish my son could drive. I wish my daughter could talk. I wish they could walk. I can't wait till they walk." You're gonna miss this. You're gonna want this back. You're going to wish these days hadn't gone by so fast. My baby has a baby. I remember when she was a little kid, and I thought that was just last week. You're going to miss these days hadn't gone by so fast. These are some good times, so take a good look around. You may not know it now, but you're going to miss this. Yeah, it goes really fast, and it goes really slow. But don't miss it. So back on track, when you look and understand that our days are numbered, that we only have a certain amount of time, we gain the wisdom that he promises in Psalms 90, which we looked at already. And that wisdom is what we look at. That brings us to the wisdom that we learned. Number two is prioritize. Next slide. Prioritize according. Let's go back to that Psalm 90. I should have highlighted that for a minute. Go back there, Scott. I missed this verse. Our days are numbered when we gain a heart of wisdom. That's the wisdom. And the wisdom is number two. Now let's go on to number two. I messed up. Prioritize accordingly. That's the wisdom, is prioritizing accordingly. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5, talks about prioritizing. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. So did you catch this? Let me unpack this a little differently. Since we know that our days are numbered, that's what we talked about in Job. Job chapter 14, verse 6, our days are numbered, so have the wisdom. Since we know our days are numbered, don't be foolish. Your days are numbered, therefore don't be foolish. Instead, be very careful. How do we be very careful? By being wise. Being wise, making the most of every opportunity. Since we know our days are numbered, God says, be very careful, don't be foolish, choose the wise things to do. It doesn't say, squeeze every opportunity into every single moment that you got, try to make up for lost time. No, it doesn't say make up for lost time. It simply says, be wise. Not as unwise, just simply says be wise. So I boil it down to one single question. And this one single question you should be able to use it in all aspects of your life. But for our time aspects, we're going to talk about it today. So here's the question. I want you to put it on your day timer. I want you to write it on your Google Calendar. If you have a smartphone, I would suggest you make it set up for a notification to show up every morning at 8 o'clock. or make it come at 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock, but ask this question. The question is this: what's the wise thing to do? What's the wise thing to do? So often, when presented with an opportunity to do something, to add something to our schedules, to an event, we say, well, can I afford it? Do I have time for it? Is it legal? If I get caught while I go to jail, is it profitable? What if my wife finds out? What if my husband finds out? What if my parents find out? Should I do it? What will my wife say? Or we say things like, well, everyone else is doing it, so why can't we do it? Or we say things like, well, the other kids are doing it, or my coworkers, or my friends, or, and you can just fill in the blanks. We often say things like that instead of, what's the wise thing to do? I think this question is key and is the best question. See, in light of our circumstances, in light of our past circumstances and experience, in light of our future hopes and dreams as a family or as a couple or as an individual, in light of what's going on in my life right now, what's the wise thing to do? Is it wise to add this to my schedule? Is it wise to add this to my child's schedule? You see, it's not talking about is it right or wrong. There's nothing right or wrong about going to cheerleading competition or going to travel soccer or hunting or fishing. There's nothing right or wrong about having your child being part of a play. The question we need to ask is this the wise thing to do in light of the fact that my days are limited and that I'm running out of town? Will this contribute to my child being more like Christ, or will it pull her away from being like Christ? What's the wise thing to do when it comes to adding things to our schedules? Does this sound familiar to you? Listen, I may be 10 or 15 minutes late today, and I have to leave a couple minutes early. Honey, I'm going to come to your recital, but tell me again, how many kids are before you? Okay, and we're thinking to ourselves, okay, there's 6 kids, and if I show up, I can stand in the back, I can listen to her play her flute or piano, and then I can get on to the next thing. When I get home, I can say, hey, I saw you, that you did a great job. Exactly. And then we think, does this describe you? When you're at work, are you thinking, man, I really should be home? And then you're at home, you're saying, man, I really got to get to work. And our kids are saying, man, can we stay just a little longer? Can we stay just a little longer? Or maybe you're like this. Your family discussion on Sunday night is, well, Monday and Wednesday is soccer, and Tuesday is a ballet. That leaves Thursday open for small group, but Friday is football, Saturday is travel soccer, and then Sunday is church. Oh, wait a minute, unless there's a cheerleading competition or a tournament out of town for basketball or soccer or whatever, and then maybe church will be pushed aside, and we add and we add and we add. It's like blowing air into a balloon and adding it until the balloon bursts. And there's no room for anything else. What if we asked, what if we started with this question? What's the wise thing to do in light of our past circumstances, in light of where we want to be 5 years from now, 10 years from now, in light of where we want our child to be spiritually? Is this the wise thing to do? Will this help us accomplish our goals as a family? Think about it like packing a car for vacation. Okay, you got your car, you got all that stuff. And guys, I know what you do. You say, okay, pack the car. I'm going to sit in the driver's seat and let me know when we're ready. And you sit there and let them do it, right? No. You got to get your car packing mojo on, right? There's a certain method to your madness. You tell everyone to put their stuff there and don't touch it. And you put the most important things in first, and then you got to put things over here, and the small things go in here, and these things fit over here. And pretty soon you run out of room, and your child goes, well, I want to take this. Okay, you got to set it on your lap. And everything, you make sure everything fits. You ask the question, what goes in first, and why does it go in first, and where does it go in first? See, the same is true spiritually. When we ask, when we allow God to help us prioritize what goes in and where it goes in our schedule, we'll be amazed at the capacity that he gives us, that he allows us to have. See, he says this, and I wrote it down so I could say it just right. When we realize your days are numbered, and we began asking the question, what's the wise thing to do? The wisdom that we obtain from asking this question, the wisdom is we're going to allow him to control our schedules. And the result? Breathing room. Everything fits, and we have breathing room. And your margin will increase. You know, I had an event happen to me this Thursday night, Friday morning. And all of a sudden, my schedule got jammed, packed. And I said, okay, God, lead me through this. And he did. And it was amazing how things just kind of fell into place. And that brings us to our third statement that I encourage you to follow, and that's this. Put God first. All this stuff only works if you put God first. You know, if you're trying to do a Rubik's Cube, you got to get the corners or the centers. I don't know. I've never solved one of those things unless I pulled the stickers off and restuck it. But this only works when we put time for God in our schedules first in the morning. We spend time with him every single day. Now, I know this sounds contradictory, adding something else to our schedule, but there is something powerful. There's something powerful and rich to saying to God, you know something? I'm going to give you the first 10, the first 20, the first 30, the first hour a day I'm going to give you. Yeah, I know I've got hours and hours of meetings and counseling and small group, and I got to be at this event and I got to go over here, but I want to make a habit of pausing each and every morning and giving you some time so that you will give me the wisdom to help prioritize my day. And when, with that one commitment that you make, we become more sensitive to what God wants and what's good in our schedule and what doesn't fit. And we have the self-control and the ability to say no sometimes, to say no to things that aren't really a priority. And then your breathing room will increase. Now, let me just pause here for most of the moment and say, we have tools available for you if you don't know what to do for quiet time. This is an on-track devotional guide. Our teenagers use it. I use it. Other people use it. It's really profitable and good. We have them at the Welcome Center back there. If you want to write something down, this is going through the Book of Romans for January. Or I would encourage you to use the YouVersion Bible app. There are programs in there. I'm reading two right now, one with some friends from that were in my youth group 20 years ago, and some other things. But make sure you put God first. And you say, how does it happen when you add to your schedule lightens up? I don't know how it happens, but God promises it. Look at Matthew. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first his kingdom. Put him first. Seek him first, and his righteousness and all these things will be given to you. The King James say, all these things will be added to you. When we seek God first, when we choose to put him first, when we ask him to help us pack that vacation car and to put things where they need to go, when we ask him, hey, what's the wise thing to do? When we seek him first, all these things will be given to you. What are all those things? Breathing room, margin. You get to do some things that you didn't think you had time for, and guess what? You enjoy it. You relax and you can enjoy it. Breathing room. When we put things first, next slide, we get breathing room. We get the space between our current pace and our limits that we didn't think we could get. Now, at the beginning of our talk this morning, I showed you some slides, some pictures of some people doing some very tension-filled things without any safety nets. So here's my final question for you today. Check out these two guys. Does this accurately portray how you're living your life right now, hanging on by your fingertips? The old saying is hanging on by a thread. Does this portray how you're living your life right now? When it comes to the time in your schedule, are you hanging on by your fingertips, hoping and praying that someone will come along, hoping and praying there's a safety net? You're hanging on by your fingertips, wondering, am I going to make this? Am I going to survive what comes next? What happens if another bill? What happens if the car breaks down? What happens if this describes you, if these pictures describe how you're living, why not give God a chance? I mean, what does this guy have to lose? Or this guy have to lose by saying, you know something? Okay, God, I'm going to give my control to you because only you can get me out of this mess. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us the ability, showing us a way to have the margin in our lives that we may not think we have, that we can't find, we can't see, we don't know where it is. I pray for my friends in this room that are literally or figuratively hanging on by their fingertips because they have allowed their schedule to be so packed full of things and they don't even enjoy it. Help us, help me to ask the proper question, is this the wise thing to do? Help us to realize our days are numbered and we have a short time left to impact our children, our friends for Christ. But more importantly, Father, I pray for that person in the room, this room this morning, that needs to say, you know something? I'm not even trusting in God right now. I'm not trusting in Jesus. I pray that today would be the day that they would say, man, I need to give my life to you. I want you to not only control my calendar, but to control my life completely. I want to give my life to him. I pray that person would make that decision today in Christ's name.